Retribution, written by Gwen Moffat and read by Rowena Cooper.
Chapter 1. The cloud ceiling was solid around 1,000 feet, but there was no question of her getting lost, not on the ascent anyway. And even where the path crossed the boggy uplands, it kept to the firmer ground and was marked by boots and the odd cairn. Not that you could spot the cairns at any distance in the mist. In fact, there wasn't much the solitary walker could see at all. There should be butterwort and sundew here, even orchids. But no flowers would show up today until you were about to trample them. Miss Metcalfe grimaced. If the cloud didn't lift, she was going to miss the orchids. Never mind, the walk was exercise, and she might detour and nip up Blaze Fell, test her navigation skills. She tramped on, peering close to make out the boot prints, hindered by her tinted glasses, but she'd see even less without them. On the other hand, she didn't have far to look. Less than 5 feet tall, with a face like a shriveled walnut under a baseball cap, wearing Austrian boots and carrying a neat rucksack, she would have occasioned more than a casual glance from anyone encountered in the cloud. A diminutive solo mountaineer moving with confidence, at least on the level. Had the chance-met stranger known that she suffered from cataracts and incipient arthritis and was rising 80, he wouldn't have believed it. But Miss Metcalfe met no one and felt smug. She liked to have her mountains to herself. She crossed the high moor and started down the other side to emerge below the cloud and see the pale stretch of close water below. Not a bird moved. Even the sheep were silent. No sunshine showed anywhere. This was May in the Lake District. She snorted and dropped down the escarpment, not all that happily now because of the stiff knees. But her mood lightened when she saw that the beck coming down beside the path had plenty of water in it, cascades showing white among the crags. It made for a bit of excitement. She came to the road beside the lake, turned right, and reached the car park at 11 o'clock. 3 cars were there, 2 with RSPB stickers, their owners no doubt looking for the red kite which had been seen here once, but surely not today. Miss Metcalfe wasn't interested. She lived here. If she wanted to see kites, she'd pick a good day. Paths took off from the head of the lake, all neatly signposted in carved wood. This was, after all, a national park. Miss Metcalfe nodded approval at the signs and turned to the Gauk Pass route. There was a faint drizzle in the air now. She paused to read a new notice at ground level, small, unobtrusive. Drivers of off-road vehicles are requested not to use this track in wet conditions. She frowned. That drivers of off-road vehicles could use tracks in national parks under any conditions infuriated her. Grudgingly, she admitted that farmers might be expected, although she deplored the noisy little farm bikes. You came on their tracks everywhere, even on the tops. Time was when shepherds walked or rode a pony, and a lot more healthy they were then. She could hear an engine now, very faint, but in this amphitheatre of hills and muffled by the mist, it was impossible to tell its direction. She climbed the track at the pace of an old guide until her legs would accept the gradient, slow enough to become convinced, with rising tension, that there was a vehicle ahead of her. Its track showed, too wide for anything other than a Land Rover. And then she realised that the sound of an engine was growing louder. Was it approaching her? Descending? She was climbing into the cloud again and could see nothing above. She would have a word with the driver, force him to see reason. This track was in a shocking state. A wide bed of unstable stones had forced the vehicle to take to the bog in places, leaving long ruts that were over 1 foot deep. She measured them with her hand. With a mounting sense of disaster, she knew that, halfway to the pass, she must be approaching the orchids that were her goal. She was breathing fast now, and her blood thudded in her ears, counterpoint to sudden bursts from the engine above. Puzzling over those erratic snarls, trying to reassure herself that the noise of her own blood was no more than the result of the climb, she came to a morass of exposed peat, and casting about for a way round, she saw high ground to one side. But someone else had seen it first.